Again, the Gemara in Vav Amud Beis said, what would happen if somebody separates challah, which is flour still? Why don't we say the rule that everyone knows that you can't create challah when it's in the state of flour, it has to be dough. So therefore he gave it as a gift. So the Gemara says, well, no, that would create a problem, because if you would leave this flour in the hands of the Kohen, sometimes the Kohen would be making a dough of a little bit less than the requisite amount, and he would add this flour, and he'd think it's all okay, and he'll end up eating it. So the Gemara says, but I understand, didn't you say that everybody knows that you can't, you know, separate flour as challah? So the Gemara says, yeah, everybody knows, but everybody doesn't know. They realize that you can't put flour as challah, but they don't realize the reason. They think, oh, it's just because the halacha doesn't want us to inconvenience the Kohen. Here, the Kohen, he forgave his inconvenience. He's willing to accept it as flour. So therefore, he could keep it. That's what the Kohen thinks, that he could keep it. That's why the halacha had to be that he had to give it back. That's what we were up to here, so in the middle of Men Vav Amud Beis.
So you can never give a Kohen flour as a gift?
As challah.
Okay, but only as challah.
You can't give it as challah. You could give him a gift of flour, but not...
You run the same exact risk, right? If you give him...
Well, if you said it was challah, this is what the case was. He said this is challah, right? So he thinks it worked. So Gemara says, but why does the halach have to say he has to give it back? If it's in the middle here of Men Vav Amud Beis. If it's a heavy truma, let the halacha be that this flour gets treated as challah, but v'lo te'achel, but the law will be that the Kohen can't eat it, ad she'yotzi alei challah mimakom acher, unless he separates challah from somewhere else on this challah. Mi lo tzdan, then we have a similar halach in regards to truma. We know that you only have to separate truma from plants that are attached to the ground. And we looked at a Mishnah, if a person has two flower pots, one that has a hole in it and one that doesn't have a hole in it, so the one that has a hole in it is attached to the ground, the one that doesn't have a hole in it is detached from the ground, so the one that has a hole in it, what grows in it is obligated in trumos, and the one that doesn't have a hole is not obligated. So if a person separated from the obligated on the non-obligated, truma, what he separated is considered truma, v'lo te'achel, but it cannot be eaten at she'yotzi alei truma ma'isa mimakom acher, until... that for that itself, Truma and Meister are separated about it. So the Gemara answers, betray manitzayas. If you have two different utensils, people will listen to such a ruling. Bechad mana, but in one utensil, lotzayas, people won't listen to such a ruling. V'ibayasema, or else I could tell you, or if you want, I will say, lo'olam kohen meitzayas. A kohen would listen to say that this flour is not challah and you have to separate challah to permit it. Because Sabra Balabayas Nitkina Isasa, the Balabayas thinks that his dough was fixed. Vasila Michal Bitzivla. And he might end up eating the Tevil. He might end up eating the he might end up eating it when his flour hasn't been fixed. So the problem is not so much the Kohen thinking that this is challah, and therefore he could mix in this flour into other flour that didn't have challah separated from it, and it won't make the complete shiur. The problem is the other way. The Baal HaBayis is going to think that his dough is okay. I've amarta, but you just said, Adam Yodea Shein Marfishin Challah Kemach. Everybody knows it doesn't work, because everyone knows that you can't create challah when it's only still flour. So again, Yodea Ben Yodea, people know, but they don't really know. Yodea Shein Marfishin Challah Kemach. They know that no one does it. You don't separate challah when it's still flour. Ben Yodea, but they don't realize why. The Savar, they think, time of my, what's the reason? Mishum Tircha the Kohen, because Halacha doesn't want to inconvenience the Kohen. Halacha says, give the Kohen dough, something that's easier for him to eat. And then he'll think, well, you know what, I gave him flour, tircha de kohen, kibla aleh. He accepted it this time. So the Gemara says, well, v'tevi chuma, let it be chuma, v'yachzer v'yitchum, and let him have to give again, if we're worried about the Baal HaBayis. So say, fine, what you gave away, but you have to do it again. Milo tzna, don't we have that example, or that such a concept in the following Mishnah? Mish'eino nakov ala nakov, if a person separates from a, takes chuma from a flower pot that does not have a hole, which is exempt, on behalf of produce that grew in a flower pot that does have a hole, which is obligated. So Truma, what he separated is, has the status of Truma V'yachzor V'yachzor. He should go do it again. So my answer is, well, again, the same answer. Hokimna, we've already said, betray manitzayas. Those types of rulings, people listen to us if it's plants from two pots. B'chadmana, but from one pot, lo tzayas, they won't listen.
But just so in the case of Truma, he ended up taking Truma twice?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So what good was the first taking then? Oh, because the second was just for himself?
Well, he'll have to separate twice. Right, because we don't want him to think that he exempted what he didn't exempt.
Didn't do anything.
Yeah, he didn't accomplish anything. Again, because you can't separate from the pot or for the chiyuv. That which is chayiv still needs to have chuma separated from it. The Gemara says, "V'lotzais." Is it true that people don't listen to our rulings? V'atnam, we looked at a Mishnah. Hatorim kishos v'nimtzei smara. If a person separates as chuma, you know, squash, and it turns out to be spoiled, avatiach, a watermelon, and it's a saruach, and it came out that it was already rotting, chuma v'yachzor v'yachzor. It has chuma, but he has to give chuma again. So the Gemara says, well, shiny hasam, you know, raisa chuma ma'al yehi. There, the reason why it's chuma is because that biblically is fine. Mid Rabbi Loi, as we've learned from Rabbi Loi, Rabbi Loi said, how do we know that if a person separates spoiled produce on behalf of good produce, shechuma, so chuma, that it is considered chuma, shenamer, because the pasuk says, and you shall not carry a sin when you lift off its best part from it. If it's not kadosh, how are you carrying a sin? So concept from here we see the Torah minara la yafeh, that if you separate from the bad for the good, shechuma so chuma, biblically it is chuma. Amar Rava said, lo shanu, when we talk about in our Mishnah, that if he gave her a date and said, iskachli bezu, and gave her another date and said, iskachli bezu, that if she's eating date after date, they don't combine to be considered a pruta. Lo shanu, we didn't learn that. Ela da'amala bezu uvezu uvezu. He said to her, become married to me with this, and with this, and with this. So since he kept saying more and more words, the act of kiddushin is not finished until his words end. By the time his words end, he said four words, those earlier dates are already gone. She already ate them. So now they have the status of a loan. And so you can't betroth a woman with money that's not currently extant with a debt, with a loan. Aval amrla, but if he said to her, become married to me be'elu with these dates, and she eats one after the other, afilu ocheles nami mikudeshes. Even if she's eating the dates one after the other, she would become mikudeshes, because kika achla, because when she's eating, mide nafsha, ka achla. She's eating that which is her own.
So, Rabbi, presumably, if she doesn't eat them, but if he says, you are betrothed to me with this date, and with this date, and with this date, if she doesn't eat them, they add up.
Yes, for sure. For
because
sure.
You could think that it's separate, yeah. Less than...
No, once you say with this, and with this, and with this, they do add up, for sure.
Okay.
For sure. But here we're saying that if he said, you're mekudesh to me with these, so... Once he said with these, so he finished the words right away. When he gave her the dates right away, that is all, you know, kiddushin money. So she eats it, that's her choice. But she's already mekudeshes, if they together are worth a pruta.
So objection is that she'll get truma, yeah?
What's that?
So objection, this temara she'll get pruta.
Yes. Or together the dates are worth a pruta.
Of them?
Yeah, or three of them. With the three together, where's the pruta? She's now married. Tanya kavasi de Rava. We learned in a brisa like Rava. Hiskad shili, become married to me with an alon. What is an alon? It's a type of...
acorn.
An acorn, okay. Berimon, a pomegranate, ube egos, and with a walnut. Osh amar lori setri, hiskad shili be'elu, become mikudeshes to me with these. And Yesh Bekul and Shava Pruta, if all together they're worth a Pruta, Mekudesh, she's married. Vim Lav, and if not, Ina Mekudesh, she's not married. If he said, become married to me with this, Bezu, Ubezu, and with this, Ubezu, and with this, If all together they're worth a pruta, she's mekudeshes. From lavena mekudeshes. If not, she's not mekudeshes. If he said, "Become married to me with this bizu natlasa v'achlato," and she right away ate it, then after she ate the first one, he said bizu and with this natlasa v'achlato, she ate that v'od bizu. Then he said, "And with this v'od bizu, and with this," you know, and each time she's eating it. And a mekudeshes at she b'achas men shav a pruta. Then she's not mekudeshes until one of them is worth a pruta. So hay ba'alon b'rimon be'egos heichi dami. The first case said, "Become married to me with the acorn, pomegranate, and walnut. If all together they're worth a pruta, she's mekudeshes. He lema da'amar la. If you told her, oh ba'alon, oh b'rimon, oh be'egos. If he said either with the acorn or with the pomegranate or with the walnut, im yesh b'kulin shav a pruta mekudeshes. If altogether they're worth a pruta, she's married. Va'okamer, but he kept saying either with this or with that. Elas, what is that first case? Ba'alon uberimonu ve'egos. Sign of bazoo, bazoo, bazoo. That's the same thing as become married to me with this one and this one and this one. Elav da'amar la be'elu. Must be told it to her. Become married to me with these. Hamidik tani seifo shom lo iskachli be'elu. One second, but since it said at the end of the Mishnah, said at the end of the Braisa, if he said become married to me with these, then if they're all together worth a pruta, she's married. So that means that the first part is not talking about be'elu. So my answers. Perushi come farish. The price is explaining itself. How would it work that if all together they're worth a pruta, she's married? Then she's married. V'katani safe. Then it continues and it says, bizu natlaso v'achlaso. If he said to her with this one, and she took it and ate it, and yesh ba'achas men shav a pruta mekudeshes. If one of them alone is worth a pruta, she's mekudeshes. Lavein mekudeshes. If one alone is not worth a pruta, she's not mekudeshes. V'ilu reisha lo kam afluk meino chelos l'manachas. But in the first part, it didn't make a difference. It didn't distinguish between if she eats one at a time or if she left them all together. Either way, it says she's mekudeshes. So that seems to imply shmamina. So that's a proof to this idea of Rava. If he said to her, "Here, become married to me with these," and then she consumes one after the other, doesn't matter. Since the words were finished by the time he handed over the objects, once she's eating, she already is eating from her own, and she's married. That's a good proof. Great. So now the Gemara takes from this braisa and goes back to an argument that we saw earlier. We saw earlier that Rav Ami, Rav, and Shmuel argued about the Mishnah. When the Mishnah says if she's eating one at a time, she's not mekudeshes until there isn't one of them a pruta. So Rav and Shmuel said that that referred to the case of where he said, "Become married to me with this date," and then he said again, "Become married to me with this one." So then he's trying to marry her with only one date. If one date has a pruta, she's married, otherwise not. And then the Mishnah said that not only when he put the dates in front of her, but even if she had eaten the dates and already enjoyed them, she's not married since one of the dates didn't have a shavah pruta. Now Rabbi Amiya disagreed. He said that the law that said that you had to have one date worth of pruta is dealing with the case of when someone wanted to marry her with lots of dates. And the Mishnah was saying that if he was eating the dates one after the other before the completion of the Kiddushin, then she's not married unless the last one is worth a pruta. So now the Gemara asks, Hanicha l'man da'amar Aseifakai. This works according to the opinion earlier that the concept im yesh ba'achas men shav a pruta was referring to the last case of the Mishnah. Umayat shei ba'achas men shav a pruta, shei ba'achrona shav a pruta. Hachanamiat shei ba'achrona shav a pruta. So then you can say that the braisa that says if he marries her with multiple food items and she eats the first one, she's only married if the last one is worth a pruta. El Rav Shmuel Dami Tarvayu Areshakai. But Rav and Shmuel, who said earlier that when the Mishnah spoke about a woman eating dates, it's referring to the first case. V'ocheles, it's tricholei, and the chiddush is, even though she's eating, it has, one of them has to be worth a pruta for her to be married. So then, what's going to go on here in this braisa? Hacha klali kachashiv prati lo kachashiv. In this braisa, we're talking about where she's eating the dates. When he had said to her, become married to me with these dates. So then what is the braisa talking about where he said, where when it says if one of the dates is worth a shavar pruta, she's mekudeshes. He said to her with these dates. It's the Gemara, Hamani, who is this braisa, Rabbi? It's the view of Rabbi. To Amar, who said, in regards to pigle, loshna kizayis kizayis, veloshna kizayis ukizayis. It doesn't make a difference if a person said olive, or olive and olive. Either way, he doesn't intend to make it into a group. Prati havi, it is detailed. And therefore, according to that opinion, whether he says hiskachili bizu bizu, or hiskachili bizu ubizu, he's not trying to say with all the dates together. He's trying to say with each date by itself. And therefore, when he says, become married to me with this, become married to me with this, he's trying to say each one on its own should create a marriage. And therefore, if one of them are worth the shavar pruta, then it could create a marriage.
So he's just covering his bases, because obviously he can't have multiple fusions.
Yeah, trying to do it again and again. Trying to do it again and again. Amar Rav, Rav said, Hamekadesh b'milva, if a man lends money to a woman, and she hasn't spent it yet, and now he comes to her and says, you know what, the money I lent you, that should be the money of Kiddushin. Ena mekudeshes, she's not married. Milva lo tza nitna. Once a person lends money, the borrower is allowed to spend it however way he wants. So now when the lender comes and says it's money of Kiddushin, it's too late. It already fully belonged to the borrower. He didn't give her anything. So the Gemara says, name of Kitanai, maybe this issue was really a machlokas of the Tanai. Because we learned Tamakadish b'milva, ena mekudeshes, v'yashom mekudeshes. Raisa seems to say explicitly, if you try to marry her with a loan, it doesn't work. Some say it did work. So my lava kamifliki, presumably this is exactly the argument. Demar savar milva lo tza nitna. One says, once you gave the money, since the borrower can use it for however way he wants, therefore you can't use it again as kiddushin. Umar savar, the other opinion holds, milva lav lo tza nitna. That once there is a loan, even though the borrower can spend it however way he wants, but right now the money is still extant. The money hasn't yet been spent. So that's the ultimate kiddushin, right? Because the lender's money is still here. The borrower hasn't spent it yet. He's going to have to pay me back. And my money is still here. So since my money is still here, that certainly can work for Kiddushin. That can work for Kiddushin because the money is here.
If he loans her money and she goes down and buys dates...
She hasn't bought the dates yet. That's what we're saying.
But if she buys the dates,
yeah,
and she has the pruta, then it could be used.
That's the second opinion, right. And the first opinion says no, because it already was hers. How could you use it again? So Gemara says, but Tizbura, do you think that that's what's going on? Ema Sefer, look at the end of that braisa. The Shavin B'mecher, both agree in terms of buying land, that if a guy had lent money to somebody else, he can say, take the money that I know I lent you last week. You still have it, I know you haven't spent it yet. Use it for the land that you want to buy from me. Or use it, and in return I'm getting a piece of land from you. If you're going to say that once a person lent the money, then that's it. It already belongs fully to the borrower. So how can I acquire things with money that already belongs to the borrower? So therefore, Amar Rav Nachman said, Huna our friend explain this price to talk about something else. What's the price talking about? Kagon, for example, where a man gives money to a woman, va'amar la, and he tells her, hiskachu ibimana, become married to me with this mana, with these 100 points. But now, v'nimtza mana chasadina, turns out that there are only 99 coins here. And he said, you know what? Okay, I owe you that other coin. So now, one says it's not a kiddushin because she's going to be embarrassed to demand that other coin. It's just a penny. The other one says it is a kiddushin. She won't be embarrassed to demand it. This is what Rabbi Elazar said. It's kashli b'mana v'nasal adinar. If a person says to a woman, become married to me with 100 coins, and he gives her a dinar, 25 coins, then she's married to him, and he asks to give her the other 75. He said something which is an argument of the Tanoi. Amri, so they answered in the yeshiva, if she's missing one coin, so she's going to be embarrassed to demand it from her husband. But chaser, tishin v'teisha, but if she's missing 99 coins, she's not going to be embarrassed to demand it. So then it works. Maisvi, I'll challenge you. Rav, you say if a person tries to marry a woman with money he had already lent her, it doesn't work. What about the following? We learned in a braisa. Become married to me with the deposit that I have in your hand that you're watching for me. She went and she found that it's lost or stolen. If there's still a prut of it left, she's married. Otherwise, if not, if even a prut is not left, she's not married. If he said, marry me with the money I've lent you, even though there isn't a prut of it left, she's married. Alone is like a deposit. One says with a loan, even with a pruta not being left. One says there has to be a pruta of it left. But everybody seems to agree that if he lent money, and he says, now marry, be married to me with the money I lent you, if the money is still around, she's mekudeshes. Mekadesh b'milva mekudeshes. That's against Rav. Amar Rav, Rav said, v'tiz brahma taretz tahi. Do you think this brisa makes sense? Hamishabeshti. The whole brisa is based on, you know, wrong terminology. It's a mistake, and you can't ask a question from it. Because let's go to the beginning of the brisa. What does it mean, marrying me with this deposit you're watching for me? If she was responsible to pay it back, if it got stolen or lost, and now most of it is gone. Hainu milva. So that is the same thing as a loan. If she's not responsible for it, if it gets stolen or lost. Yaki, if so, are the tani safe when it says at the end of a milva, but in a loan, even though a shavaprut is not left, she's still married. Just talk about a case of pikada. But when is this law? When she's not responsible. But if she's responsible to pay back for the loss, then even if there isn't a pruta left, she's married because she's responsible. And that's a loan. So what do you have to say in the braisa? In a loan, even if a pruta is left, ain't a mikudeshes, she's not married. Reb Shimon Elazar Omer, Mishum Rabbi Meir. Reb Shimon Elazar says no. Milva rei ki pikadon. And just like in a pikadon, if there is a pruta left, in a milva, if there's a pruta left, she's married. But if you have a, so it comes out in a milva where a pruta isn't left, everyone agrees she isn't married. So that's like Rav, that if a person's trying to marry a woman with a milva, it doesn't work. But Mike, what is the argument between the two? Amar Rav, Rabbi explained, Ashkechatin l'Rabbanu b'vei Rav, d'yasvi k'amri, b'milva b'rishus b'ilam l'chazar, v'adin lonesim k'mifugi. They're arguing about a loan. Is it still considered in the domain of the lender that he can demand the money back? And therefore, if something happens to it, the borrower, out of the control of the borrower, he doesn't have to pay back. Or do we say it's completely in the domain of the borrower, and therefore the lender can't demand it back? It's in the domain of the borrower, so that same would be true in terms of things out of his control. Umar Savar, Birshus Bailam, it's still in the domain of the lender. Kaimav, Uadin Lonson, the same thing in true in terms of things that are out of his control, and therefore also he can be Mekadesh her with it. Okay, we'll stop here.